On Thursday of this week, we will keep the national holiday of Thanksgiving, a day set aside to give thanks, a day which became a national holiday during the Civil War. It is also a holy day in our calendar, in the church's calendar, and it's a day that we give thanks to God for all that we have been given, that we take stock of all the ways that we have been so abundantly blessed. And I think there's a call for us to take stock of how we have been blessed both personally as well as our nation. I know this Thanksgiving, I am particularly thankful for this parish, for all of you who are so committed to being the church in this place, for this community which is growing, incorporating new people, a community with a strong commitment to being the body of Christ, a community which is diverse and dedicated to welcoming all who come through the doors, a community that is blessed with many talents, talents which are very freely shared, a community which gathers in this beautiful building and has done so for the past 99 years, this building of presence, a sign of our presence on Hope Street. And I give thanks for our deepening engagement with the world around us and our deepening involvement in this neighborhood. When I think about our nation, however, I don't hear, at least so far, I hope it will change as we move to Thursday, I don't hear a call to be thankful or an accounting of how we have been blessed. But instead, I hear much about the divisive campaign season and election, about growing economic inequality, about growing injustice in our world, about divisions along lines of race and ethnicity. It seems a time of great division and great pain in our national life, not a time of joy and giving thanks. In our collect this morning, we prayed, "Mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under His most gracious rule." I see in this collect today a recognition that we are not a people unified. Rather, we are people divided, that we are divided by sin, that in fact we are enslaved to sin. Sin, which is that alienation from God and neighbor and self. It seems that our human condition is to live divided, to be enslaved to those divisions, to be unable to let them go, to break free of them. Only in Jesus can we be set free from all that alienates us, from all that causes us painful division. In the gracious rule of Jesus, we are set free to live in love, to live in unity, in communion with one another, to come together. In our lessons today, we hear just how different the gracious rule of Jesus is from the rule of earthly leaders and rulers. We begin with our lesson from Jeremiah, where the prophet Jeremiah is calling the leaders to account. They have not been faithful. Jeremiah says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord." The shepherds, rather than being those people who gather and care for and lead the people, have scattered them, have not brought them together. They have not attended to the people. The leaders of the people have not been faithful in the care of those entrusted to them by God. So God says that the people will be gathered by God. God will see to the people. God will bring the people back from being scattered. And then God will raise up a faithful shepherd, one who will do this work of gathering and caring for, of attending to the people. And of course, when we hear that as followers of Jesus, we understand that it is Jesus who has been raised up as the faithful shepherd of the flock. Jeremiah said, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness on the land." On this last Sunday after Pentecost, as we do each year, we remember the reign of Jesus, the kingship of Jesus, As we heard in the collect, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who is the faithful shepherd of the people, the one who humbly gathers and leads the people, who serves them, who does not lord power over them, who does not seek his own glory, his own exaltation. The kingdom of Jesus is not like the kingdoms of this world, and it can get hidden behind the noise, behind the pomposity of our earthly rulers, of the empires that exist in this world in this age. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we know the kingdom of God is in our midst, that Jesus has ushered it in. And it's that kingdom of Jesus, that we are called to live in, not living by the powers and principalities of this age. For those things will pass away. Earthly rulers will come to an end. Empires and nations will not exist forever. But God does. And we are part of that kingdom, that eternal kingdom of God. In our gospel, we see just the kind of ruler that Jesus is. We see the shepherd of the flock who reigns from the cross. As someone at the 8 o'clock Bible study pointed out, for weeks we've been hearing about making that journey to Jerusalem. In today's gospel, we're there. It is the crucifixion. And though it may not at first glance be apparent, Jesus has more power than all earthly rulers. For it is through his death on the cross that the very power of sin and death itself is defeated. In Jesus, there is an eternal victory over everything that enslaves us, that alienates us, that divides us. There is victory over the powers of this world that divide the peoples of the earth. So it is, I think, that today's gospel tells us important things about this kingdom of God, about the kingship of Jesus, and also the call to those who follow him. And the first is that Jesus does not return evil. He does not, in the face of violence, return violence. He breaks that cycle. There's that human impulse, an eye for an eye. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you at least as much. But that doesn't end anywhere where there is love and reconciliation. That ends with us divided and wounded. And so Jesus instead says, don't lash out, live by love. And he does so even when the powers of this world are crucifying him. Now the world would say, this is weakness. It's weak to not respond when someone attacks us. It's weak to not respond when someone is violent towards us. But I would maintain that it takes far more strength to love in the face of evil. It takes far more strength to love in the face of those who would harm us. And it takes far more strength to not allow our actions or our reactions to be determined by others, how others are behaving towards us. It takes far greater strength to act as Jesus does than to be conformed to the ways of this world and to seek revenge and what the world calls justice. So Jesus reigning from the cross offers an image of the strength and power of God's love, that living through the power of God, we can refuse evil. We can refuse it even when it is dangerous. We can be strong in the face of it and not give in to it, because we know that this fierce love of God is stronger than death itself. Jesus on the cross is also concerned about those around him. He forgives those who are killing him, even as he is dying. The strength of Jesus is able to pay attention to those around him, to, in the face of great suffering, not think of himself, not be consumed by his pain, but to think about those who in ignorance are harming them, to pray for them, to not rush to judgment and condemnation. And he doesn't separate himself from them, but has love for them even to the end. So Jesus is showing in his concern for those who are killing him a wide generosity, thinking of their well-being, of their redemption, their restoration to unity with God. Then Jesus helps those who need help, even one who is being crucified with him. One of the criminals asked Jesus for mercy. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Though this one is guilty of his crime, Jesus tells him he will be that day in paradise with him. Jesus is able to respond to those who earnestly reach out and search for him. those who, though guilty, repent and return. Jesus restores the condemned to wholeness of relationship with God. So this king we follow, the great shepherd of the sheep who gathers the people, comes to us in great humility and desires us to return, to be gathered, and offers to heal everything that alienates us from God, from our neighbors, and from ourselves, and invites us into his most gracious rule, into his kingdom, to dwell in paradise with him forever. So in this Thanksgiving season, may we give thanks for this vast, generous love of God made known to us in Jesus. And may we humbly come before the power of the cross and allow Jesus to scatter us, a people divided. Gather us into one people. Gather us in love. That we might go forth in the strength of God's love, empowered by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be a people who love, who resist violence, who stand up to injustice, who forgive and show mercy, and above all, seek unity with God and with our neighbors. May we indeed be brought under the gracious rule of our humble King, the faithful Shepherd, that we might be set free to love without counting the cost. Amen.
Amen.